She had a protection in her eye for Christmas.
Oh, she did.
But it went to one eye to the other, and the other side of her face, her eye bruised further than taken to the ER.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
The song that we will sing prior to our prayer in our Bible class. It's Step by Step. This is song 970, if there's anyone following along in our hymnals this morning. Step by Step, song 970. We'll sing this song, and then we'll have a prayer, and then we'll have our Bible class. Are we doing the presentation, or are you running that?
I wasn't asked to, but I will try.
Okay. I didn't look to see that it was on there. Oh God, you are my God, and I will ever praise you. Would you bow with me as we go to God in prayer? Holy and righteous God, our Creator and our Father, we're so thankful, Father, for your mercy, for your love, for your compassion upon mankind, your creation, upon us specifically. Father, you've blessed us in so many ways. You've given us everything that we need in this life and so much abundance beyond our basic needs. Just help us to receive your gifts with the right attitude, to take time to see the beauty in your mercy and in your benevolent nature, Father, to just humble ourselves and not think more of ourselves than we ought to. Father, your grace is sufficient for us at all times and more than sufficient, Father. So we come to honor you in our worship this morning, in our singing of songs, in our praying, in our communing, in our giving, in all aspects of our Bible study. We look, Father, to draw closer to you and to be a people that can openly profess our appreciation for you and for your love and to love you back. Father, we're mindful of so many of our number that are struggling in different ways, Father. Many are not with us this morning because of health concerns and struggles that are in their lives. Father, just extend your mercy and your peace toward them, and we pray that we might be encouragers of them, that we just might be the best examples that we can be for one another, and to be humble and to imitate Jesus, the Savior of mankind, our Lord. Father, thank you for the freedom that we have to worship you freely in this nation. It's such a great blessing to be able to come together on the first day of the week, just as you've commanded and your church has practiced for so many years. Father, just bless us with that opportunity throughout our lives. And for those that maybe don't have that opportunity today, we pray that they will. We pray that they'll, between now and then, Father, that they won't give up. They'll continue on in faith. Father, thank you for great biblical examples. Thank you, Father, for the model of evangelism that we've been studying, and we pray that we are committed to it, and we want, Father, for it to be successful in our community, so that lost souls can come to know you, and Father, we can We can be commended for our faithfulness, for our willingness, Father, to share with others that message. And if we don't, Father, the opposite's true. So help us, Father, to be the people that you want us to be, to love you as you've loved us. Guide us and protect us and forgive us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Okay. Let's do something different. Well, as you just have faith and you make sure it's teaching the truth, but yeah, my part, it does.
Wow, that's good.
Let's look at, open your Bibles to Mark chapter 14. We'll just do something different.
You said Mark 14?
Yeah, Mark 14. Let's just pick that up when he comes back. He can help us with that. Again, we're going to open our Bibles to Mark chapter 14. A lot happens in that chapter there. Let's look at let's pick it up about Jesus in verses 22 through 25. Well, the beginning of the chapter there, they go to celebrate the Passover, and then Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper in verses 22 through 25. And let's pick up in 27. I want to look at Peter in his situation, his relationship to Christ. And let's pick up the scriptures here. Verse 27. Then Jesus said to them, "All of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered.' But after I have been raised, I will go before you to Galilee." Peter said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not be." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times." But he spoke more vehemently, "If I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And they all said likewise. So what do we see this trait about Peter? We call him something a lot of times. Is the word impetuous or something like that? I think impetuous Peter, where his mouth kicks in before his brain does. Well, I don't know if that's the right word to use for him. I think Peter was a reactionary person. I think he was a person who, when something happened, he reacted. And we'll see that a little bit later, if it's in this account, or if we have to look up another one. I may have to look up another one there. Someone find, if it's not here in John, find where Peter cuts off the ear. I believe his name is Malchus. Find that account. Okay.
Verse 10.
Okay. All right, just hold your finger on that, James. We'll go back here to Mark. So Peter is someone who, I believe when Peter said that, at that moment, he really meant it. I really do. We talk about Peter and his character a lot of times. When we talk about the account where they're out on the boat and there's a storm and Jesus comes out to them, we always talk about Peter sinking, don't we? We do. We talk about Peter sinking, right? And Jesus had to lift him up out of the water. I want to remind us that Peter's the only disciple that had faith enough to step out of the boat. Don't forget that. Peter stepped out of the boat and walked on water. Did any other disciple do that? No. Now, Peter did take his eyes off Jesus and began to look at the circumstances he was in. Oh, I'm out here in this stormy sea and these waves, this wind. And he started sinking, right? He did, right? So I think he has the heart of a true follower of Christ, the willingness to do something that others aren't willing to do. But then humanity kicks in and fear kicks in and he looks at, oh, I can't do this. Well, you were. You were, right? So I think that's the case. I think that's probably the case here. Because he basically says, I'm willing to die with you right now. I'm willing to die to defend you right now. And we'll see in John's account there that that's true. John, what did you say? John 18?
John 18, verse 10, yep.
Let's turn over there. John 18. Let's go ahead and pick up, let's just start there at the beginning of John 18. We'll read through 11. When Jesus had spoken these words, he went out with his disciples over the brook Kidron, where there was a garden, which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, who betrayed him, also knew the place, for Jesus often met there with his disciples. Then Judas, having received a detachment of troops and officers from the chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. Jesus, therefore, knowing all things that would come upon him, went forward and said to them, "Whom are you seeking?" And they answered him, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said to them, "I am he." And Judas, who betrayed him, also stood with them. Now, when he said to them, "I am he," they drew back and fell to the ground. Then he asked them again, "Whom are you seeking?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." Jesus said, "I have told you that I am he. Therefore, if you seek me, let these go their way, that the saying might be fulfilled, which he spoke, 'Of those whom I gave you, I have lost none.' Then Simon Peter, having a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's servant and cut off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. So Jesus said to Peter, 'Put your sword into the sheath. Shall I not drink the cup which my Father has given me?'" So Peter made this pledge that I'll die with you. I'll die right here. I'll die trying to defend you. And it says here that Judas, along with a detachment of troops and officers and chief priests and Pharisees, came there with lanterns, torches, and weapons. So there were several people that came to arrest Jesus, and including soldiers, officers, it says there. So they came and they had weapons. Yet when they approach, Peter tries to live up to his promise. Does he not? He steps forward with a sword. Is Peter a trained soldier? No. I mean, he probably knows about many people that day, know how to defend themselves a little bit, you know. They didn't live in a world like we live in. So he steps forward and wields the sword and cuts off the man's ear. So I think Peter really is a person who in the moment, he's ready to do things for Christ. You know, he walked on the water, and here he does follow through with his promise. But then things happen later on that he's not so proud of, right? Shortly hereafter, Jesus told him, "You're going to deny me three times before this night is over." And that happens. Let's see here. Let's go back to... I guess we can pick it up here, but we'll go back since I started at Mark. Let's go back to Mark 14. And Jesus is... Go ahead.
In Luke's account,
okay,
it shows that the disciples asked the question of the Lord, "Shall we strike with the sword?" And before the Lord even answered, Peter took action.
Right.
In that account, it doesn't identify Peter specifically. It said
one of the disciples.
One of them took the sword and you know, struck the high priest.
Right. That's a good point. Ears. Yes.
So Peter was quick to do whatever he. I mean, I guess in that sense, you know, impetuous is oftentimes a fair word for him. I mean, he jumped out of the boat whenever all the other disciples stayed.
Mm-hmm.
They asked the question, and he didn't wait for the answer.
Right.
He took action.
Yes, we will strike with the sword right now.
And just immediately before that, he had said, you know, I'll defend you to the death. And,
right.
And the other gospel said that, you know, all the other disciples
pledged the same.
It didn't come out and identify them specifically because they didn't take the lead in that. They were followers of Peter in that instance. They all trusted that they would do the right thing, and we often trust that we'll do the right thing, and sometimes we don't.
That's right. Let's go back to Mark's account here, Mark 14. Let's jump down to verse 66 here. The prior verses there, 53 and on, Jesus is taken, and he faces the Sanhedrin council, and they're questioning him, and they believe that he has blasphemed himself, and so Peter's out in the courtyard. Peter had followed them, but he stayed back, and Peter's out in the courtyard. It says, "Now as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came. And when she saw Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, 'You also were with Jesus of Nazareth.' But he denied it, saying, 'I neither know nor understand what you are saying.' And he went out on the porch, and a rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him again and began to say to those who stood by, 'This is one of them.' But he denied it again. And a little later, those who stood by said to Peter again, 'Surely you are one of them, for you are a Galilean, and your speech shows it.' Then he began to curse and swear, 'I do not know this man of whom you speak.' A second time the rooster crowed. Then Peter called to mind the word that Jesus said to him, 'Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me three times.' And when he thought about it, he wept." Now there's another one. Is it Luke's account there that you were talking about? James, where was that at again?
That was in Luke 22.
22. Yeah, let's see. Yeah, let's look at Luke's account. There's a one little piece of information there I think chills me to the bone every time I read it. Let's go ahead and pick up verse 54. We'll just read the whole thing there. Having arrested him, this is Luke 22, verse 54. Having arrested him, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house, but Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And the servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, This man was also with him, but he denied him, saying, Woman, I do not know him. And after a little while, another saw him. You are also of them. But Peter said, Man, I am not. Then about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, Surely this fellow also was with him, for he is a Galilean. But Peter said, I do not know what you are saying. Immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed. And the Lord turned. This is the part that chills me to the bone every time I read this. And the Lord turned and looked at Peter. Then Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. So we see Peter ready to fight to the death. You know, they're outnumbered. They're not skilled soldiers. They're probably going to die here in the Garden of Gethsemane. But he wants to defend Jesus. Gets out the sword, strikes Malchus, cuts his ear off. Jesus said, you know, I don't need you to do that. That's not God's will. Puts Malchus's ear back on. They take him and arrest him. They're taking him on to the Sanhedrin council there. And we see right off the bat there, immediately, there's a little bit of a change. We see that in verse 54, the very last sentence of it. But Peter followed at a distance. So he's already distancing himself from Christ. He's not walking hand in hand. Well, I'll go with you, Lord. I'm going to stand right beside you and go through this with you. You know, no. He's following at a distance. And then in Mark's account there, when he's confronted, he says no. And then he walks away from it, right? It says he walks away. He tries to get away from this situation. And then it goes on. So much so that they keep asking him about it. Well, you're a Galilean. You come from the same area. You surely know this man. You know, you do. And he says he swears. Now, I don't know if the Bible, I didn't look up the Greek on that, if it's like cursing, but it's certainly not a good thing that he's saying, not only am I not one of his followers, he claims, I don't even know him. I don't even know who he is. Yeah, James.
I've often wondered that Christ knew his heart, and in the predicament that Christ was in, he had further use for him, and he didn't want him caught up in going to prison or whatever. So I was wondering, you know, he knew his heart, but Peter being human, you know, he was going to do all he could, but then, you know, like, human nature kicks in. Like, I don't know if, you know, if you're going to put your life on the line, it's like somebody in Africa, you know, these Christians got killed by these gang wars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't know if I'd have enough, you know, all of a sudden, you know, I'm going to die.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I've always wondered about that is maybe Christ knew his heart, and he had further use for him later on. So it's an example for us to see what Peter did, and we can fall into that realm. And I still think that there's more there that between Christ and Peter.
Mm-hmm. Well, the answer to your first supposition is yes. Jesus knew his heart, right? Jesus knows all of our hearts, right? Absolutely. He knows exactly what we're thinking and how we feel at all times. So that answer is yes. And obviously, it was God's will. I think many times I've had this conversation recently with someone. There's challenges in our lives, right? Life just happens. But I think many times we choose the final outcome of those things. We choose whether, you know, it's a what we call commonly termed as a gut check time. Sometimes you heard that term, gut check. You got a gut check. You know, how are you gonna handle this when your back's against the wall? And those things that happen, those circumstances that happen, they can either make us, I've said this before, it's not new with me, things that happen can either make us bitter or better, right? And we get to figure that out. We get to be the one that determines that. And so I think Peter at first is bitter because it says he went out and wept bitterly, right? Some of those versions say, he uses the word bitter. So he wept bitterly because you said, I'll die for you. I will die for you, Lord. I will die for you, Jesus. And he said, well, you're going to deny me. No, all of us. And they all, yeah, we'll die. Well, you know, the other disciples don't even come. Peter's the one comes by and comes, follows, even at a distance. And then he's confronted three times. He denies even knowing Jesus. The rooster crows. And it says, apparently Jesus was close enough through a doorway or whatever. If you look down through a courtyard or whatever, it says Jesus looked at him.
But Jesus also told him what was going to happen.
Yeah. He didn't.
Told Judas Iscariot the same way. There's one that's going to betray me.
Right.
You know,
right.
And it was right there. I mean, they, you know, they had all the evidence.
Right. That's right. So, well, I mean, obviously Peter sees that fulfilled, right? But they're in the garden there, right? And here comes Judas with these guards. Well, he did betray him, right? But I'm not going to. I'll die for you. Go ahead.
Sort of what I take from Peter is growth.
That's my point I'm going to. Yes.
He did eventually die on the cross.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a very different look from the Lord on that day.
Yes. Yes.
So he had to grow. And Judas could have grown also.
Yes, he chose a different path.
But he chose a path that affected him eternally.
Condemnation. Judas chose condemnation, and Peter chose life.
Sometimes we always choose the easiest way out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, do I want to put up with this? But man, this is the easy way out.
Yeah. The easy way becomes the hard way in the end, though, does it not? It always works out that way. Yes, James.
In Luke's account, where you started with the prediction of the denial.
Yes.
There the Lord says, Simon, Simon, Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. And then he said, but I pray for you that your faith should not fail. And then what he says next is important.
Say it.
And when you have returned to me,
mm-hmm.
strengthen your brethren.
Mm-hmm.
You're not chaff, Peter, is what he's saying right. in the passage. Even if Satan puts you through the sift and you get discarded like chaff, that's what he thinks you are. He mm-hmm. doesn't think you're the fine product.
Mm-hmm.
He thinks you're the throwaway part.
Mm-hmm.
Some translations say converted, but when you are converted, Peter.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But I like when he says, I'll pray for you.
Yeah.
Pray for you, Peter.
If Jesus prays for us, that's pretty good, isn't it? That's about as good as it can get, right? And I think you're right. Satan was trying to get Peter to see himself as the chaff.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
But Jesus saw him as the heavy seed that remains on the ground to be picked up and used.
Yes.
Right? Not to be blown away in the wind.
Yes.
So, but Peter's the one that got to pick which one, you know, it's... I've said that from Ed Sturkey. Ed Sturkey was our minister here before for 10 years, did a great job for us. And he had, part of his heritage was he was partially some kind of Native American Indian. And he would tell a story, and I've said it before from the pulpit, because he said it from there, about the Indian grandfather talking to his grandson, and they saw two wolves fighting. You know, he said, and his grandfather said, there's two wolves fighting in you, son, all the time. And they're just going at each other. And there's the good wolf and the bad wolf. And the grandson would hear about the great struggle, you know, this great struggle. And he asked his grandfather, which one of these wolves is going to win this battle, Grandpa? And the grandfather said, the one you feed, my son. The one you feed, the one you give strength to, right? You want to feed the bad wolf? The bad wolf's going to win. You want to feed the good wolf? The good wolf's going to win. And so Peter had this struggle, right? He had this struggle. And the good wolf wanted to do some things right, right? You know, I'll fight, I'll die for you, you know, and this kind of stuff. But then the bad wolf, which was cowardly, really, you know, came out. I don't even know who this is. But Jesus rightly says what you're reading there from Mark, when you have returned, Jesus knows his heart. Jesus knows what Peter is going to choose ultimately, because he's God, right? Jesus is God. And so he says, when you return, you will strengthen your brethren. That's right.
Right. That's the important part.
Absolutely.
You show them the example that you can rebound, and then that they can too, because they have.
It's kind of like us, like somebody that falls, that's been faithful and falls away. You don't know it, but yet, like God or like Jesus knows it, but you know one day they'll be back. You hope and you figure they will.
Mm-hmm.
To where he knew his heart, he knew.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a great lesson. Peter's a great person for us to look to, of someone who is in God's kingdom and falls, but yet doesn't let that be the end, doesn't dictate the rest of his life, who's able to return, right? And I think he's a great character of that. I mean, we can look at Paul. Paul's such a great person for Christ. Even though he started out wrong, he turned, and it's almost like he never had another falter, you know. But Peter, we see someone a little more like us, right? Somebody that has struggles from day to day with faithfulness, with sincerity, with following through, with not being a coward, with being strong, with being faithful, with And we see Peter fail from time to time, but we always see him get back up. And I think that's a great example for us who are modern day Christians. I think there's a lot of lessons in there, a lot of example, a lot of things for us. A lot of people say sometimes, well, I don't know how the Bible applies. I think that applies to us right here, right now, in today's society, does it not? Times have changed, but people haven't, right? We still have that choice of how we're going to handle these stressors, these temptations, the pressures of our society. The Christians, you know, just like the Jews, you know, they're living under a Roman rule, right? A harsh rule. Many times they existed in pagan societies, right? And yet, every day they have to choose whom they're going to serve, right? And how they're going to serve, and how they're going to live, and who they'll answer for. And we see that, and we see the early church, you know, when we see the early church come into being, and it says, the church was growing day by day, those who were being saved, right? We see that happen. And then what do we see shortly thereafter? We see persecution, right? And those Christians just go on back to their homelands and they never speak about Christ again. Is that what we saw?
No.
They took Jesus with them, right? That was, something Satan probably had a plot in, you know. Satan wants to take away Peter. He wanted to take away Judas. Well, he got Judas, didn't he? Wanted to take away Peter. But he didn't get Peter because Jesus restored him, because he asked him later on, Peter, after his resurrection, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord, you know I love you. Feed my sheep. Strengthen your brethren. Right? That was Peter's mission. So yes, these Christians lived in persecution, right? But then Satan, I'm going to stomp this out. I'm going to stomp this church thing out. It's growing strong. I'm going to stomp it out. I'm going to cause this government to go in there and you know, persecute them, throw them in jail and things like that. Well, God took that situation and turned it into something good. Okay, my people are going to not just stay here in Jerusalem and be one strong unit. They're going to go out back to their home country. There's people from the Medes, Persians, all these different places. They're going to go back and they're going to take the story of Jesus with them. They're going to tell their friends, their neighbors, their business partners, their family about Jesus of Nazareth, who's God in the flesh, who lived a perfect, sinless life, who died on a cross, was resurrected 3 days later, and ascended into heaven, said he was going to build his church, and that someday he's going to come back and get them. And that's what they did. That's what they did. That's why you and I are here today, right? Here at this time in this place. Why we have this book we call the Bible, right? It's why we have that New Testament. It's why we have we're meeting in this assembly on the first day of the week. Why we partake of the Lord's Supper. Why we sing songs. Why we pray to God. Why we try to share that same good news with others. That's what we're trying to do. So yes, we can learn a lot from impetuous Peter. We can see some things that we don't like so much, but then we can see a great victory in his life. And we can have that same victory, you know. And so when we find ourselves being cowardly, when we find ourselves being sinful, and those kind of things, we can say, okay, well, Peter changed. I can too. It gives me a lot of hope, and I hope it does you too. Any other discussions about Peter or Jesus' trial or anything like that? Anybody think of anything like that?
I think Peter's the easiest one for us to relate to. He is for me. Me and him's a lot like.
Very human. That's right. Yeah. Peter's a lot like us, modern day times.
Or the fact that impetuousness can be a double-edged sword. It can be a very good thing.
Yes.
It can be a very bad thing. So your strength and your weakness, you got to keep a balance on those.
Yeah. God can use every characteristic of us, every part of our personality, to accomplish his will. Impetuous people don't wait around to do something, right? They might need the hand of someone like an elder in the church or somebody that's a little bit more seasoned and say, okay, well, yeah, let's get started on that, but let's implement a plan. Let's just don't react. Let's act, not just react, right? So you know, God can use that. God can use anger. Bible tells us to be angry and sin not. Well, is anger a sin? Well, I don't know. If you're angry at sin, you're angry at what it's doing to your family, angry at what it's done in your life, and it causes you to switch and repent, I'd call that a righteous anger. Right? God can take everything about our personality and use it, you know, tweak it, refine it, and turn it into something that could be used in his kingdom. Every single thing. And so he used Peter here. And Peter's setting, you know, a great example for us today of don't let sin get the best of you. Don't let your circumstances and your failures of the past dictate how you walk in the future. Take a step in faith, I think, is the lesson for that. As he took a step in faith when he stepped out of the boat. It's that same person. It's that same person. And Jesus promised to give him the keys of the kingdom, right? Well, we see Peter opening that kingdom on the day of Pentecost, right? Acts chapter 2. Peter's the one, you know, there's other, all of them are speaking there, but Peter's the main one that the the writer of Acts talks about, Peter's giving that lesson, right? He's opening the kingdom. So he was given that privilege because of who he is. And, you know, Peter became better and better and better. Like Chris said, there's some historical teachings that Peter was eventually crucified upside down. I believe he requested to be crucified upside down because he wasn't deserving to die the same way as Lord was. That's strength. That's strength. Because I'm sure he was probably presented, deny Jesus and you'll live. Well, how can I deny the Lord that's made me what I am? I saw him resurrected. You can take my life, but he'll give it back to me eternally, right? So that's the thing. James, I don't know if I'd have the strength to do that or not. James Oliver, in case our audience is listening. I don't know if I'd have the strength to do that, but I'd like to think so. I'd like to think so. But ultimately, when it's put to the test, that'd be a hard thing to do. But if we really count the cost, right? This person, the state, this person, whatever, is going to take my life. But Jesus says he holds my life. He's going to give it back to me eternally in his eternal kingdom, not this temporary kingdom. I'd like to think that I could see that and that I would not deny Jesus. I'd like to think that, and I hope that we all come to that fullness of faith. And I think Peter had to go through this to become who he became. I think Peter, without those experiences, doesn't become the great preacher of the gospel that he ended up becoming. I think that allowed him to be stronger. The things that we get challenged with in life and we fail, but then if we try again and we finally succeed, we become stronger, right? We do become stronger and more able to handle the next circumstance that life throws at us or the next challenge that Satan puts in our path. So I think all those are good things to think about. So any other final words, final comments, or questions? All right, I'll leave the lesson to you.